This is an extra audio concerning the book Acts, the Field Manual for the End of Days. It's simply answering a question, why be strong? Now, I emphasize that a lot because I think it's a lack. It really is. And there's times we find in Scripture that God is constantly calling on the people of God to be strong and be courageous. And I want you to know there's about seven things that I marked down just generally. Why be strong in the Lord? Why become strong in Christ? Why become what I call the powerhouse? You know, why become that? And I think that's important for all of us. It is important for our walk. And well, let's talk about the seven things here. Number one, God's will. It is God's will. I mean, think in terms of Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be terrified. For the Lord your God shall be with you wherever you go. Now, there's that call. He's going to be in leadership, and he's going to lead, you know, some say 100,000, 1,500,000 individuals or more. And it's a big job. And he's coming in after Moses. Think in terms of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. After a major discussion about the resurrection, glorification, and the victory over death, the Spirit of God says to believers in verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, again, that's important because along the way, you know what? In outreach ministry, in going door to door, in going on the streets before the university, before the bars and things like that, visiting homes, I have run into believers that had things occur in their life. It might be the world that drew them in and got them involved with so many things, they don't even have time for God, time for prayer, time for anything. And they're very, very, you wouldn't know really that they're a believer and the world's got them. Some, it's the flesh, it's the old sin stuff, and they got back into things. And they yielded to sinful things, they've grieved the Spirit of God, and they're now weak. Now, there's also those, the enemy, like when we read about Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has to sift you as wheat. Now, that was a big issue because he didn't know what first hit him. But I think when we look at the scriptures, whether you go Old Testament and just see the application of Joshua 1:9 or in 1 Corinthians 15:58, incredible word to look at. How about this, Ephesians chapter 6, right in that chapter that deals with spiritual warfare, in that chapter that literally draws the believer to desire the full armor of God, it begins this way. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this is very powerful here because to me, it's an incredible invitation with the idea that, hey, this is necessary, this is important, because it's going to empower you to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, dunamis, of his might, strength and power and might to manifest into your life. And with the armor of God on, in your obedience to the Lord, that very strength and power and might to manifest through your life. So I'm going to say I believe it's the will of God. And you can go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to you young men. Now, these are the younger believers. These are not the, there's pater, there's the paideia, there's the children, the young ones, and the fathers, in a sense, the older believers that should be pillars, that should be strong. Now, God's will is, and we read in 1 John 2:14, I write to you because you are strong. You are strong. And you've overcome the evil one. And that word strong has the idea of, it does have the idea, think in terms of somebody physically muscular. But this is referring to spiritual muscles, in a sense. That you are now spiritually strong. Here's why. Look at this in 1 John 2:14. Because the word of God lives in you. So you have that reality of the Word of God living. In our embrace of the Word, in our putting the Word into practice, we get stronger. we become more and more, powerful, Acts 9:22. We become in our obedience to the word, in our obedience to the Great Commission, as we launch out, well, there's going to be a greater strength. I mean, look around you. Think in terms of who do you know that's really strong in the Lord, and what about you? Now, it's not a good thing to evaluate your life. Of, you know, every believer has stumbled here, stumbled there. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, all of that, on a daily basis, on a relational basis, that we'll walk cleansed, not grieving the Spirit of God, or like 1 Corinthians 5, not quenching the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit wants us literally on fire, that we're to be, the idea there of quenching is putting out the fire. And I believe being indwelt by the Spirit of God, God Almighty dwelling in you, and the Spirit of God, and you to be filled with the Spirit of God. When I read there in Ephesians, even in chapter 1, the idea of the eyes of our heart being enlightened, and of course by the Spirit of God that we'd know the inheritance. And that's all about growing. It's all about getting stronger. But when I come to chapter 3, and Paul says he's going to kneel before the Father in prayer, he's praying for the others. What is he praying? He prays that out of the glorious riches of God, that they would be strengthened. Now, it's the idea of something like a physical strengthening in a way. The entire structure of your inner being would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe that when we're saved, all of that presence and power of God is put in, and as we yield to the Lord, as we step out in obedience to the Word of God, all that we have received by faith begins to manifest, become operative in your life, in your obedience, in your stepping out. So again, God's will to be strong, God's will to be strengthened, and that in Ephesians, that prayer itself. And I would pray that today for everyone listening and in this course. You're going to hear me say over and over again, I'm hoping and praying that every single believer becomes that powerhouse. And here's the reason why. In the book of Acts, you begin to see all those, when you begin to just, you could even do a study in the book of Acts separately. Every spirit-filled person in the book of Acts, they go through persecutions, they go through trials, they go through opposition, of course. But it seems like they get stronger and stronger and stronger. And even when they're persecuted, even when they're put in jail, even when other things occur, they come out of that and they continue. I love Acts 5:42, where they never stopped. They became strong enough, so they never stopped doing the will of God. Now, I'm going to say this. There's many believers that have not really started to do the will of God, to do the Great Commission, to step out in obedience in all of Scripture and in ministry also. I mean, that's why we got saved. I mean, even repenting and believing on Jesus involves a act of obedience to the Lord. And in that obedience to the Lord, then we begin to find all the other scriptures to add in. As a believer, loving Jesus. Jesus said this in John's Gospel, 12 through 14, the chapters, if you love me, you're going to obey my teaching. And in that obedience, as we read in 1 John 14, you get stronger and stronger. So strong that it says you overcome, Greek word Nike. You overcome with decisive, clear victory, the evil one himself. So salvation involves, wow, the forgiveness, the freedom, the breaking of Satan's ownership. And now we're in Christ and his power and his presence and the new nature is inside of us. And every promise in every scripture and he himself dwelling within. And it all lends itself to God empowering, God strengthening, God enabling. And I'm going to say again, the world, the flesh, the devil, those three things. You know, we got to check ourselves at times. Lord, is the world sucking me into just stealing all my time or trying to make me like that? Romans 12, we're to be making our lives a living sacrifice to the Lord. Not conforming to the patterns of the world, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, and being able to discern the will of God. So in that yieldedness, you're able to obey God. You're able to grow in the Lord. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You know what's good about knowing this and beginning to live this and experience this? Here's some of the notes. I'm going to talk about the necessity of it, the depth of God in it, that faith is built in it, that far less failure, and failure is it's obviously something we don't want. Number six, I'm going to tell you how much there's fun in it. And when I say that, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's joy in serving the Lord. And seven, you just the powerful ability to do the ministry then and to do things. Because when I'm going to, like this next year, I'm going to be for as long as possible, I'm going to be seeking to influence millions worldwide in the broadcast and the teachings and so forth to become what God intended. Now, you know the scripture that I constantly refer to is in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. We're created, designed in Christ Jesus to do those works. What are those works? I believe they involve prayer and the powerful miracles and answers that come in. I believe it involves soul winning and sharing Christ. I believe it involves healing and deliverance and signs and wonders and extraordinary things and power encounters and all about the kingdom of God that is not a matter of talk. It's unshakable. We're a part of that. And it is the King that dwells in you. It is God's power that dwells in you. Now, the world, the flesh, and the devil want to weaken us. And many times when we first come to the Lord, we're, you know, like a new baby in Christ, we don't know everything yet. But as we begin to grow, and I'm going to tell you today, you can grow faster than you think. I'm even going to say this, don't wait on Sunday morning only. That's just in a real sense, a supplement to your faith. Don't wait on Sunday morning. Every day, Jude 20, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up. Take the word of God. Speak the word of God to you. I used to, you know, seek to memorize scripture, quote scripture out loud. I used to jog 5 miles into deep woods, and I loved it. Now I do a different kind of workout right now, and I'm in a really good. Just to say that, like today, getting into that workout room, taking scripture and listening to it, or looking at it, or what you do know you have memorized, speak it out. Speak out truth to yourself. Remember again, 1 John 2:14. They became strong because the word of God lived in them. You become strong when the spirit of power, the power of the spirit of God, strengthens you in the inner man. Now, there are things, you know, in life, the devil tries to scare, the events of life, a lot of things. But there is a sense where we're called to fear not, to step forward, to stand your ground, to become, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, become immovable. And I believe that. I believe Christians, and here's why I can call on it. Here's why I can push. Here's why I can, because on the one hand, because of the actual, again, the strength, the joy, the abilities, and the ability to bear fruit. See, it all lends itself ultimately to the ability of millions of believers to enjoy the Lord, to know the Lord, to walk in confidence in Christ, to walk in the power of that word, to know the scripture, to know how to pray, to have answers to talk about. And then all of that, you know, then from strength you witness, from strength you pray against the enemy, from strength you resist the devil, from strength you, all ministry can flow out of that strengthening. And we thank the Lord for his strengthening. You know, hearing sermons, hearing teaching, studying ourselves. But that's why I'm going to tell you every single day, you have the ability to get before God. Again, Jude 20, build yourself up. Take the word of God. Repeat the word of God. Speak the word of God. Appropriate it and tell the Lord. Interact with the Lord. Become familiar with his unceasing, unbroken, immediate presence. He's never left you since the day he's got inside of you. Jesus is dwelling in you. He is with you. The Mark 16:20 reality that Jesus will be all around us as we're on the field of human history, ministry-wise. So it's God's will to be strong. It's God's will to be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will to grow. It's God's will to bear fruit. It's God's will to glorify him, glorify Christ, and enjoy it along the way. Now, number two, the necessity. Now, I'm going to tell you this again. That when Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, in the Greek it's plural, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift, to beat up, to cripple, to harm all of you, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. I pray for all of you. So then the battle occurred. An unseen battle went on. They weren't experienced. They didn't know about this. They didn't understand this. And that's true in the beginning sometimes. We don't understand the battle. Even when people get saved, in the first couple of days, they get battle. I remember a girl that got powerfully saved. We went to go visit her afterwards, I think within a day or two. And she talked about how she was so happy. She was so filled with joy. But her boyfriend leveled her, made fun of her. Basically threatening to leave her if she's going to be a powerful, joyful Christian and believe in Jesus. And we had to encourage her to stand. So there's things like that in life that individuals will want to pull you away. When I say, that, why be strong? Well, because of the necessity of that. Because the world wants to pull you, you know, out into it and weaken you. Because the old sin nature, if it draws you into some sin issue, wants to weaken you and lead you to grieve the Spirit of God and quench the fire of the Spirit of God. And the enemy loves to weaken. That's the goal of the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8. We're to be sober-minded. We're to be alert. That's a word that involves strength, and be strong in that too. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Well, we read 1 John 2:14, being strong, operative in you, obedient to it, you overcome the evil one. In James, in submitting to God, you resist the devil and he flees. You become bold as a lion. You become the powerhouse. The necessity is because there is battle. The necessity is because there is temptation. When Satan comes, temptation comes, or others try to do things, or events in life, realize something. No one has the ability to take away your strength, take away everything. It's all about our responses. It's how we respond to things. And so I want to say, being strong in the Lord, would you want to face major trials in life, we as a weak believer? It's possible to be a weak believer, to be a babe in Christ, basically. And it's important to understand that we're to grow up in our salvation by the knowledge of God, by the power of God, by our relationship to Him. And I'm going to say this again. In our relationship with a living Savior, everything else around us is affected by that. Family, neighborhood, work, all of the things around us, and all of what it comes down to even being able to minister. You know why millions of believers in the United States and millions around the world, you know why they can't win souls, they can't share, they don't see healing? Because a lot of the subnormal church, where there's talk about the Word of God, there's sharing of the Word of God, but there's also a avoidance of the power of God. The two go together. The Word and the works. The Word of God and the power of God. That's the joint unity you see in our relationship with the Lord. It is Word, and it's also power, manifest power, dunamis, and strength and growing. It's necessary because you're going to be attacked. It's necessary because when you're out in ministry, nowadays there's people that are into demons and spirits and so forth that want to curse you. Nowadays, there's all kinds of, in the world that we live in, very hedonistic, very decadent, very dark, and the world would tend to want to shove your faith, depress you. And so there's a lot of things around us. So I'm going to say this, the necessity. Obviously, you can't stand against the devil, the evil day, the devil's schemes, without being strong in the Lord and in His power and might, as we read in Ephesians 6:10 down. Now, the third thing is this, the depth of God, the deep things of God. I don't know if you've read the first few chapters, because in the first three chapters of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you're dealing with real believers. They're real believers, but they were in the flesh. They had problems. They were misusing their giftings. And Paul, the Spirit of God guided him to to weave through that and to get them to relinquish the flesh and relinquish the, you know, whatever's not right. And that's the job of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Sanctification is the powerful, dynamic work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in our development. The Spirit of God is in you. You've read this in Philippians. It is God who is in you to will and to do, to act according to his good pleasure. He's there. He's operative. He's moving. He wants you inwardly believe God, obey God, get in that word, be disciplined, continue to develop. And I think that when we sit back and think, I mean, I've been to colleges and universities and Bible schools, and I'm still doing that to this very day. You know, 40-some years later, I have desires to be in three other schools and books and things. That's just me. I'm a major. I've just studied. But the centrality still is that Word of God. And when it comes down to it, the centrality is the depth of God. See, I know as a believer right now, the Spirit of God in me, Ephesians 1, he's the deposit guaranteeing the future inheritance. You know what it is? We call it in the Latin rapture, the catching up, the harpezo. When we are from mortal to immortal, instantly in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, that we're changed. And when I read prophecy in the book of Revelation, the end, that we're going to see God face to face. I mean, can you imagine again? We're going to be glorified. We're going to be the new race of immortals, and you're going to see God's face. God is God, and there's no one like him. God is God. You ever read Isaiah 46? So the depth of God, the deep things of God, how much scripture do you know? How deep have you studied? How, you know, that's what I'm saying. You got to study books of the Bible and take courses. Dig in and take courses. If there's anything to know, I mean, I could talk about, I have thousands of books I've read all around, thousands and thousands. I've got thousands all around me. I got hundreds. When I get new books in, I turn them sideways on the shelves and so forth. I probably have about 150. Some people have sent me books, and I apologize that I can't always respond to all that because, again, there's just so much. There's so much. As far as ministry and what to do there and what I need to do for exposure and dealing with strengthening the body. But here it is. The centrality of all this is our depth in him. I'm not studying just for ministry. I want to know the God that saved me, his character, his presence, his attributes. Not only are unveiled, but he's there. His very presence is in the Word. It's the only book whose author is living in and living through and living beyond. I mean, that book is speaking when you pick it up. Logos, Hebrews 4. The Word of God is powerful. It's living. God is speaking. And that should be enough to say the value, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we read in Proverbs the depth of the treasures, the depth of the... Why should we want to have that in our lives? To really get that in there. I mean, Proverbs, I mean, reading chapters and chapters in Proverbs is far beyond, you know, 50 books in business principles. I mean, in ethics, I mean, you get such wisdom for living. In Psalms, you get such wisdom for your interaction with God. Your interaction in the midst of difficulties. You're seeing the hand of God as shield and buckler and the glory of the Lord being your rear guard, as we read in Isaiah 58. And there's just so much to pour into you. And as you pour into the depth of God and deep in the scripture and deep in your relationship, and you know, do you know God? Do you know his voice? You got to spend time. You can't do it without spending time. You got to spend time with the Lord. You got to be able to talk and listen, because God dwells in you, because a living Savior is with you. And the depth of God, I believe memorizing scripture to this very day, I do. I believe getting 3x5 cards and writing scripture down or going over them again and again. And sometimes just sitting back, closing your eyes and bringing forth verses that you've memorized. Because I tell you what, when you get into ministry, the Spirit of God will remind you right in the middle of things. Like Stephen in the book of Acts, he had a spirit of wisdom and power which nobody could stand up against. A spirit-filled individual filled with the Word of God, that's a powerhouse. That's a powerhouse. And as you go forward in the experiences of life, experiences of ministry, and you stay obedient, and you go through things, and you wait on the Lord, and you keep doing it, and doing it, and doing it, and doing it, you just get stronger, you just become more competent, more experienced, more confident, there are believers that are so strong, and like pillars, nothing really shakes them. We realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have confidence in the Lord. Where's that from? Where do you know? How about Romans 8? Very good, right? I also believe becoming strong in the Lord is always building your faith. You know, the Word of God, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. That's true in the gospel. The first time, you can't get saved without hearing, but you can't grow without hearing. You can't grow without the Word of God. The Word of God is a faith builder. It enables faith to read the stories, to see what occurs, to see the miracles. I just bought a set of study books. I plan on going through one by one all the miracles of the Bible, all the prayers of the Bible, all of the, and there's it's an incredible thing to look at, because when you begin to look at what God has done, what God is able to do, when you see promises. So when you're digging and growing and getting stronger and stronger, your faith is becoming very strong and immovable, and your faith is encouraging others, and you speak it, you live it, and you know when the bad circumstances around you occur, you know, because then you stand up all the more. You give the sacrifice of praise. You rebuke the enemy and oppression around you. You know how to fight. You do. Growing strong builds powerful individuals in faith. And if you read the book of Hebrews 11, by faith they conquered kingdoms, by faith they administered justice, by faith they became valiant in fighting, in battle. So grow, become strong. Number 5, less failure. Now I'm going to tell you that right now, that a lot of believers, it fails because they're not applying, they're not grabbing hold of what God has given them. They're not appropriating, they're not getting in there. You know, when somebody's spiritually lazy, and then the world, the flesh, the devil's, bringing their temptations and everything else, then they stumble, then they try to get back, then they stumble. So there's believers that are like on a merry-go-round. They just go around and around and around, and they never really go any further. Because you have to grow, become strong, you have to come through things. When you're pressured with the things of life, James 1, count it pure joy. Brother, when you're facing trials, troubles, pressures is the word. This word that means the idea of pressures in your life, and you're going to count it pure joy, not because of the trouble, but because the response to the trouble is going to do something. It's going to move you to powerful perseverance. It's a testing of your faith. But it's going to move you. If you're going to stand and believe and stand and quote scripture and stand and hold and go forward and praise God, well, count it pure joy, because the testing of that faith of yours will produce perseverance, which is powerful faith in action. And then as you're persevering, and that word has the idea of kind of a heroic standing up and moving forward in the midst of difficulties, and then it builds character. In the bad circumstances of life, and when the enemy comes, and when individuals come to tempt you, they're all doing it because they want to see, they want you down. They want you to fail. Obviously, the world, flesh, and devil want you to fail. God didn't design you for that. God designed you for triumph and for victory. The word victory, Nike, is the idea of decisive, powerful, triumphant victory over something. We read all three in the book of 1 John. Victory over the flesh, victory over the devil, victory over the world. And we're to have victory. We're to live in victory. And I'll say again, it's not only God's will, it's necessary. And it brings the depth of God. It builds faith. And as you do that and come through, when you come through trials and all you did was complain and be negative and everything else, one thing, I think the trial lasts longer. Two, I think the enemy sits on your head and sits on you oppressive-wise. But when you come through trials, you're praising God, getting the word, standing up, you're actually pressing forward. You're actually, like Paul talks about, forgetting what's behind, pressing forward, taking hold of. Get up, speak about things. Today I'm standing. And you get up to do these things. Well, not only do you become stronger and stronger and stronger, and you look at the strong ones in, again, the book of Acts as you're studying through, and they're not falling all over the place. They're not stumbling. They're not backsliding all over the place. Years ago, a cocktail waitress got powerfully saved. She came to church. She got baptized. As a guy I led to the Lord when I was working part-time in the early days of pastoring. Well, he then helped this girl get saved, and she comes to the church. She's growing and growing and getting around some pretty much subnormal believers. She comes to me one day in the pastor's office. She said, "Pastor Russ, is it inevitable that we all backslide? I mean, are we all supposed to backslide? Is that part of we get saved, we have joy, we're free, we're forgiven, but it's inevitable. Part of the whole Christian life is backslide, stumble, backslide." I said, "I'm just She was glad to hear what I had to say. Absolutely not. It's God's will that we get stronger. It's God's will that we grow more joyful and more powerful in the Lord. It's God's will that in this salvation and in this development, dynamic salvation, dynamic sanctification. Sanctification is that dynamic work of God filling you and you experiencing and you appropriating all that truth and living it out. And you just simply do become stronger and stronger. Now, we do read in the examples of scriptures where, you know, leaders and people failed and stumbled. We look at, you know, we can look at our own lives and talk about certain things. But I'm going to tell you right now, backsliding isn't the will of God. Falling back into the world, flesh, the devil, whatever, it's not the will of God. It has everything to do with our development, our growth, and what God has given us to be strong and to stay strong and to have victories and continue. I simply think stronger people have less of those stumbling points, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And that when we're younger and weaker, the same temptations then might have caused us to bend a little bit, to really be concerned. But when you're stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, those winds of the enemy and the flesh, and they don't affect big pillars, big, huge trees of oaks of righteousness like the Old Testament talks about. Number six, you know what all leads us up? And I just put the word fun down. What I mean by that is the joy of the Lord is your strength, and there's joy in ministry. And there's joy in answered prayer, that your joy may be full. He came to give life, Zoe, the quality of life, and life more abundantly. I'm going to say this, that when answers to prayers powerfully come, that's joyful. When I've never met in all these years any people who've led people to Jesus, people that see people get saved, they've led folks. They're soul winners are always joyful. They have joy. They're not all depressed and sad about what they've done. They're very excited about what they've done. Because in the context of that, he who wins souls is wise, the scripture teaches. And being a part of that is a privilege. And seeing people come out of that darkness and that gift, that gospel of salvation saving them, and seeing them begin to speak about their new walk in Jesus, it is just a joy. There's a joy to it. There's fun in it. There's fun in our fellowship with other believers. And you'll hear me talk a lot in this training course about teams and being together with teams and being together with one another. And that's important to me, because I believe God sends them out in teams. We're able to strengthen each other. We're able to back up each other. We're able to pray with each other. We're able to use the giftings and callings in the context of ministry together. And I've always, through all the years, having great fun with brothers and sisters in Christ as we get to share in the context of ministry, in the seeing what God is doing, in battling and fighting together for others and so forth, but in the joy of the Lord and the fun that we have together. Number seven, simply your life becomes, when you decide to grow as God willed you to grow, it's his will. It's not something new. It's not like, wow, this is for a certain category of Christians who are supposed to become strong. No. That's why I'm saying that when we recognize that it may be the church systems that we've been in, they've been very subnormal about strength and power and growing and God's will and God, the works of Jesus. I'm going to say again, all believers in Christ, you are the most supernaturally empowered, enhanced, backed. You are destined in Christ Jesus. You're God's workmanship, created in Him. But there's a destiny to that, a horizon in a sense to that. That out of your life comes praise. Out of your life comes prayers. Out of your life, answers to prayer. God's intervention, even miracles. And you win souls, and you pray for healing and see people get healed. And when demons come up and manifest in lives now, you take your authority and you stand strong, and you rebuke that, and you expel them demons, and you stand strong, and you encourage believers, and you go after strong believers. Millions and millions of strong believers can then stand up against the drug trade, stand up and abolish abortion, stand up and opposed to satanic rituals and ritual abuse and the dark side's massive deception that's out there drawing billions away. You stand up in the midst of darkness because the strength in you is greater than the corporate strength of the dark side. Greater is He who's in you. Greater, megas, huge, big, mountainous is God the Holy Spirit inside of you than the devil and his out there around. So let the wicked flee. Let the believer become bold like a lion. Let the righteous be bold as a lion. And that's how you're going to live. When you can live confident, bold, strong, as God is manifesting all His presence and power in you, and then that just coming from you encourages others. Strong believers encourage others to become that. So I'm going to say this. Start now. Don't wait for anybody else. Make your plans. Talk to the Lord. Decide how you're going to study. Dig in. You don't have to take a spoonful once a week. You can take a massive bowl every single day. Do you realize that you're going to hear me talk throughout this course how the church should be and right now can be the most spiritually dynamic gathering on the planet. Power, just magnificent it could be, where people just want to come and maybe standing room only because of the activity of God, the works of God, the power of God, the word of God, the reality. It's all there. Now, I'm going to say this is true for individual believers, but I'm going to say this. Even if you had no one around you, I'm saying that you, because of what you are in Christ, what salvation means, what God's will is for you, and because of the work of the Spirit of God, you can take hold. Just come before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. I'm deciding to become strong like you want me to become. I'm deciding to grow. I'm deciding to see my faith build. I'm coming to, as you've chosen me, John 15, to bear fruit. To grow and grow in that relationship and to bear more fruit. I want you to hear me. All ministry should come out of the depth of our joyful relationship to God. All ministry should flow out of our constantly going back to the Lord, constantly going deeper into the Scripture. Over 40 years later, all I want to do is I want more. I want to be reminded again. Even in the book of Peter, he talks about how he's wanting to refresh their minds, even though they know this, to remind them again. Because the world, the flesh, the devil wants to take it all away. God wants to remind us, refresh us. And listen, can you be the one that helps spark revival? Can you be the one to lead hundreds to Christ? Can you be the one to pray for somebody to see the real healing of Jesus, just like in Scripture? What about when the demon, all of a sudden in church, there's somebody, they're manifesting a demon. Who's going to deal with that? I think on the level of leaders, I'm going to tell again, leaders, you can't lead people beyond what you are. And that's what leaders do. Leaders are supposed to lead. But you can never lead them beyond what you already are, what you have, what you know. You only have what you got. And so the good news is get more. Grow stronger. Become more experienced in the works of Jesus. and step out in faith to see the astounding things of God. Remember again Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond even what you ask or imagine, according to his power. And I think when you see Acts 4 and the power of God shake the building and fill the people, I think when you see the healing in Acts 3, I think when you see the rest of the story in all of Acts, everything you see is here and now today. Jesus, the Savior that dwells in you, the Savior that is with you, the Savior that pledged to be here with you to the end of the age, is operative in and around. And in that obedient, in that stepping out, in your getting involved in doing the will of God, the works of God, the Word of God, you're gonna be literally, I think, amazed. That's the Gospel of Mark. First chapter, he unleashes the call to repentance to the gospel. Then he heals people. Then he engages and delivers people. It's a nutshell of everything he did and everything we're to be a part of and all that we're commissioned to do. And so I want you to hear clearly, God has willed that you become supernaturally, by God's hand, by God's presence, by God's power, by God's giftings, by his very working in and around you, the powerhouse. And as you do, and as many others do, and as we pray for revival, revivals are to come. And the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, and I believe the millions will still be affected and saved. And the church becomes such a living, powerful place that people hear about it. They didn't have to listen to it on radio. They didn't have to see a sign. Nobody, you know, you see signs on church buildings. You really think anybody comes in? It's us that go out to engage. But where there is healing, where there is deliverance, where there is joy, where there is God at work, where there is a welcoming, it may be the hurting, the addicted, the downcast, or people that know their sons and daughters are demonized will come dragging them in for you to help out. I think that's a great thing. Be strong in the Lord. Grow stronger in Christ. This is Russ, Book of Acts. Love you.